You're listening to Rocky Mountain Review on 90.5 FM at KCSU Fort Collins for Tuesday, April 16th. I'm Lee Zimpel, your news director.
And I'm Tyler Weatherwax, your assistant news director, and we are the voices behind the Rocky Mountain Review news broadcast that airs every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
As always, we here at the Rocky Mountain Review strive to give you the most up-to-date, unbiased, and factual news. On today's show, CSU could be facing a lawsuit from some animal activists. Tyler will give you the details and more in campus news.
And find out how many incidences Larimer County has out of all of Colorado drivers who were under the influence in local news with Lee.
Then a Pooter Library book was overdue for more than a century. Find out where it went in Life and Events with Tyler.
Later on in the broadcast, crimes on college campuses have seen a sharp increase recently. Find out how those compare to CSU. And with that, we'll get started with campus news. Hello, I'm Tyler Weatherwax, and this is your Colorado State University campus news. Colorado State University is being sued due to a failure to comply with an investigation focused on the university. The Animal Activist Legal Defense Project from the University of Denver College of Law has filed a lawsuit against the university due to issues with the Colorado Open Record Act. The lawsuit came after CSU failed to comply with the Colorado Open Record Act, relating to an investigation into a commercial slaughter factory where CSU was researching. The research study funded by the meat industry from 2020 looked into the amount of mud that was on cowhides at a slaughterhouse. Animal Partisan was investigating the study and requested photos and video under the Colorado Open Record Act. The photos and videos were denied by the university to be given to the group. The request was submitted to obtain that information, but the university claimed an exception to the Colorado Open Record Act, stating if there was ongoing research, they did not have to provide those pictures or videos. This then prompted the lawsuit, which was filed on April 10th. A statement from the university said, quote, CSU learned about the lawsuit today. We will review the allegations and respond accordingly. This story comes from the Rocky Mountain Collegian. One of CSU's largest dorm buildings will be shutting down temporarily as renovations start this summer. These renovations will be similar to the other tower on campus, Westfall, which was closed for the 2022 to 2023 school year. Westfall received new floors, new windows, and other improvements, and Durwood will soon be seeing a similar facelift. Both of the towers opened in 1968 and have housed students for over 50 years. Around 400 of the incoming students can expect to see housing in other dorms, as well as housing in CSU-affiliated apartments, to accommodate them for the lack of housing. Contributions to this story come from the Coloradoan and the Rocky Mountain Collegian. CSU announced recently the new university primary wireless provider. The switch from Verizon to T-Mobile will affect many phones that are distributed by the university, many of which that go to faculty. Faculty members who have their own personal device and receive a monthly stipend from the university will not see changes to their own device. The new provider will go into effect on June 30th, and the deal with T-Mobile is multi-yeared and hopes to help those on campus with connection. If you have questions, you can contact cell phones at colostate.edu. Thank you for joining me. My name is Tyler Weatherwax, and that was your campus news. Coming up now is Lee with your local news. Learn more about where Larimer County ranks in the state and DUIs right now.
In local news, Fort Collins is not a stranger when it comes to ranking in lists about its quality of life. Recently, the city scored high on a list of best places to live in Colorado, and part of that is because of the city's famous beer and brewery scene. Larimer County as a whole just found itself on another list, and it does relate to our nationally recognized beer culture, but this time the list shows a different angle of that. Colorado State Patrol released a list of the state's top five counties with the most DUIs from last year, and Larimer County ranked number five. For reference, El Paso County ranked number one with a total of 518 DUI citations from last year. Larimer County had about 179 DUIs. Adam County ranked number two, Jefferson ranked three, and Weld County was number four. Even though we find ourselves on that list, on the bright side, the number of impaired driving citations has been getting lower in Larimer County when you look at the past 3 years. According to the Coloradoan, Colorado State Patrol Chief Matthew Packard says that Colorado's culture is widely known for its love of adventure, but he says he hopes that Colorado can next be known as a community of people who enjoy themselves responsibly. The point of releasing that top five list was for the State Patrol to say it's important to plan ahead for a sober ride so that you and others on the road are safe. Before we get into this story, I do want to let you know that we'll be talking about topics of sexual abuse. A former youth pastor in Fort Collins was arrested over child sex accusations that go back as far as 3 decades. Police say they are concerned there could be more victims that have not yet come forward. The Larimer County Sheriff's Office says that 65-year-old Epolito Gomez Perdomo was arrested last month on 5 counts of sexual assault on a child. He worked as a youth pastor at Vida Abundante Church in the northern part of the city. The sheriff says more charges are pending and that the investigation looking into the former youth pastor has been a long one for police. Police say they got their first report of sexual assault accusing Gomez Perdomo early last year. A teenage girl reported she was assaulted by him in the early 2000s when she was a young child. Investigators say during the report, the teen said she didn't say anything out of fear, but decided to come forward because she learned that other teens had similar experiences with the pastor. Investigators opened their investigation into Gomez Perdomo following that girl's report, and the sheriff's office says they ended up finding a closed report from 2019 involving the pastor and a different victim. In 2019, because of that allegation, Gomez Perdomo left the church, but at the time, no charges were filed. But now that case has been reopened, and since police launched this newest investigation, another victim came forward with the same experiences, but from the late 1990s. Before Gomez Perdomo lived in Fort Collins, he stayed in Fort Morgan and in Houston, Texas. Sheriff John Fahan says that the mental and physical harm that sexual assault does to victims is serious and that it can be hard for people to come forward, especially if whoever did it is in a position of trust. The sheriff's office says Gomez Perdomo was a family friend to at least one of the victims. Fahan says that the victims who have come forward about this case are brave, and he says he's grateful they did and that their voices matter. Larimer County Police are encouraging anyone with information on Gomez Perdomo, including any potential victims, to reach out to investigators. If you want to do that anonymously, you can reach out to Crime Stoppers of Larimer County through their phone number, which is 970-221-6868. Contributions to this story come from Denver 7. Those were your local news updates for now. My name is Lee Zimpel. Up next, a library book was overdue for more than a century, and Tyler will tell you more about where it was and where it is now when we come back from the break.
KCSU thanks Fort Fun for their support. Located off Mulberry Road, Fort Fun is Northern Colorado's family entertainment center with a large selection of attractions, including mini golf and go-karts. For more information, visit fortfun.biz.
Hello, I'm Tyler Weatherwax with Life and Events in Fort Collins and CSU. A book from the Fort Collins area was returned after being overdue for over 100 years. A book that was supposed to be returned to Poudre Libraries in 1919, the book finally made it back to the library 105 years later. The late cost would be $760, or with inflation, about $14,000. The book was even still in decent shape when it was returned. When the book was checked out, there were still only 48 states, and the United States was just recovering from World War I. This story comes from 9 News. A Starbucks in Fort Collins has closed its doors. The Starbucks in Old Town Fort Collins, located inside the Northern Hotel, the coffee shop which has been serving residents since 2002, has closed permanently. Employees will still have the opportunity to transfer to other Starbucks in the area, but those hoping to grab a Starbucks coffee in Old Town are out of luck. This story comes from the Coloradoan. And for some events happening in the next few days, you can attend an event happening in the Laurie Student Center shortly. Starting at 4:30 p.m. today, a new screening of a documentary, and we'll have a discussion with Dr. Lisa Staubis. The event titled The Rise of Pig Factory Farms will look at how swine operations impact the people, animals, and economy involved. Again, this event starts shortly at 4:30 p.m. in the Laurie Student Center Ballroom A. And starting later tonight, you can listen to some live music at the Aggie Theater. Tonight we'll see K-Bong and Johnny Cosmic. Kevin Bong is best known for his role in the band Stick Figure, who has been touring with the group since 2012. K-Bong has seen several of his own hits become popular with fans such as Open My Eyes and Middle of the Ocean. The jamming will begin at 8 p.m. at the Aggie Theater tonight. That is all for your life and events. Coming up after the break is Lee with your national news. Learn about a crime spike in campuses across the country.
This is Max from Say Anything, and you're listening to KCSU.
Welcome back from the break. I'm Lee Zimpel, bringing you a brief rundown of some of the nation's top stories so far this week. Campus crime is spiking in colleges and universities around the nation. Experts say the spike is not something to be too worried about because the numbers are following crime trends seen over the past decade, but that still is not comforting to some parents. Experts say crime rates on campuses declined during the COVID pandemic because there were just less people on campuses overall. Now, as students are getting back to universities in the U.S., naturally experts say that is what's driving rates back up to what they were before the pandemic. From a data standpoint, the spike is not that concerning, but there's been news coming out of universities around the country of gun violence and other crimes. Just over a month ago, a student at the University of Colorado, Colorado Springs, was fatally shot by his roommate in his dorm. That shooting is one of multiple recent incidents of gun violence shaking college communities. Government data says that in nearly 6,000 institutions in the U.S., the rate of crimes reported jumped up about 8% from 2019, even though enrollment overall dropped in that time. This recent spike marks the biggest increase of college crimes reported since government-funded institutions started reporting those campus safety stats. Here at CSU's main campus in 2022, government data shows we saw a total of just over 100 crimes reported in general, with over half of those being related to sexual assault or harassment. The third highest number of reported crimes were burglaries. The recovery process for the collapse of the Baltimore Key Bridge has been ongoing since last month, and authorities have been working to find wreckage from the bridge itself, as well as recovering the bodies of six construction workers killed in the collapse. Officials now say they recovered a fourth victim's body over the weekend after they first found a missing construction vehicle. Search crews alerted Maryland State Police, and officers, along with the FBI, ended up finding the victim trapped inside. The first two workers that were found were recovered the day after the bridge collapsed, and the third was found earlier this month. Those three workers were identified by authorities, but the fourth was not immediately named for the family's privacy. In a statement from yesterday, Maryland State Police Superintendent Roland Butler Jr. said as the recovery process continues and as the community mourns, authorities are doing all they can to find everything using every resource possible. And lastly, a piece of space junk crashed through the roof and through two floors of a Florida man's home a few weeks ago. This week, NASA confirmed that the debris belonged to them and that it came from the International Space Station. The Florida man says he was not home when the space debris crashed through his house, but he says his son was a couple rooms away from the impact. His son was not hurt, but the crash understandably spooked the family. The crash was caught on the man's Nest home security camera, and it happened in the afternoon during the same time that the U.S. Space Command noticed some space station debris entered the Earth's atmosphere. The debris was not incredibly big, but it definitely was dangerous. NASA says the junk that crashed through the man's home was made of a metal alloy called Inconel, and it weighed just over a pound and a half. It was 4 inches tall and a little under 2 inches around. NASA says the International Space Station is planning on investigating what happened in order to prevent something like this from happening again. That'll wrap up your national news updates for now. Information for these stories comes from USA Today. Coming up, a key CSU football player could be leaving the team. Find out why and more when we come back from the break. Tyler will give you the CSU Sports Report.
What's good? This is Kanani, and you're listening to 90.5 KCSU Fort Collins.
Hello, I'm Tyler Weatherwax with your Colorado State University Sports Report. News came yesterday that Nico Medved will be staying at CSU. The CSU men's basketball coach has received several offers from major programs in the nation, but has decided to stay at CSU. Medved's extension will be 5 years. Medved had a record of 117 wins and 75 losses, and the team also made it to this year's NCAA tournament. Medved is projected to make $1.15 million in July of this year through June of 2025, with a $50,000 increase each year until 2027. His earnings will then be capped at $1.3 million. Contributions for this story come from the Rocky Mountain Collegian and the Coloradoan. A key part of the CSU football team's offense will be leaving the team. After the spring scrimmage game, CSU head coach Jay Norvell announced that Justice Ross Simmons will no longer be a part of the team. The wide receiver had 45 catches for 724 yards and 3 touchdowns last season. Ross Simmons is expected to enter the transfer portal soon, and this story comes from 9 News. Last weekend, the CSU softball team went on a 3-game winning streak in Utah as they played the series against Utah State with success. The sweep over Utah was led by the Mountain West Player of the Week, Ashley York. York went 7-for-11 at the plate and even had a home run. York also had a triple and an RBI. The Rams will return to Fort Collins this weekend to play the San Jose Spartans. That's all for CSU Sports. Learn about the weather for this week with Lee right now.
Tonight, it'll be mostly clear with a low around 42. It'll be pretty breezy, but after midnight, the wind should calm down. Wednesday, we'll see a slight chance for showers in the morning. Then after 3 p.m., that will turn into a chance for thunderstorms. Overall, the sky will be patchy and partly sunny. We'll see a high of 69. Wednesday night, we'll see some rain showers until around 4 a.m., and closer to 4, we could see a little bit of snow and rain showers. After 4, that will develop more into just snow showers, and some thunder is also possible. It'll be mostly cloudy and windy with a low around 34. Wednesday will start up with a chance of snow showers before noon. Then as it warms up, it'll gradually just become rain. It'll be another mostly cloudy day with a high of 48 degrees. Thursday night, we'll see some more rain showers and snow showers later into the night as it cools to a low of 34. We'll talk about the rest of the week's weather ahead of the weekend on the next episode of the Rocky Mountain Review. We'll be back this Thursday at 4 p.m. Information for this weather forecast comes from the National Weather Service. And that is all for today. We would like to thank Damian Castile for our amazing theme music. We'd also like to thank the rest of our staff here at KCSU and Rocky Mountain Student Media. We couldn't do this without you.
Finally, we couldn't do this without you, dear listener, so thank you. If you missed any part of today's show, you can find the RMR podcast on kcsufm.com under the news or podcast section. You can also find us on Spotify or anywhere else you listen to your podcasts by searching KCSU News. And with that, we'll see you next time.